I want to read one or two verses from five Psalms. You will be able to see why I read from these Psalms when I get through. But right now, let me just read these Psalms to you so that you can remember them and go home and meditate upon them at length. In Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. And now Psalm 31. Verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. The Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth him that dealeth proudly. Psalm 40. Verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 70. Verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And the last reference in Psalm 97. Verse 10. O ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, thou hast passed on to us a rich inheritance. Whatever we may have of this world's goods, our God, the scriptures which thou hast placed in our hands is something that is greater than any material thing that thou couldst give. Help us to know this, and let us never forget this. Let us remember that the word of God abideth forever. Let us remember that thou hast exalted thy word above thy name, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the words of thy Son shall never pass away. We are thankful, our God, that thou dost teach us and instruct us from these scriptures, and we desire to learn from the one that we have read this night, and so prepare our hearts. Thou dost know, our God, that even now farmers are not going into the field to sow the seed and set out the plants, because the field will not allow it. And thou dost know that thou art desirous to plant in our hearts good things from the word of God. We pray that the spiritual weather that surrounds our hearts shall be good for the planting of seed, and that the seed shall be planted and grow and bring forth fruit abundantly. And so thy Spirit must prepare us. Do that, our God, we pray. Give utterance to him that speaketh, and give attentive, obedient hearts to those who listen. And give us clean lips and clean hearts to hear the word of God. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There are precious few Christians who love the Lord, and of these few, fewer still tell us in God's word that they love the Lord. Now, this is good. for the reason that God has no delight in the lips of hypocrites, for those that say, I love the Lord, but they do not love the Lord. And the Lord Jesus tells us about that. He speaks of some who say, Lord, Lord. And he said, why do you say that? And do not the things that I command you. And for that reason, there are few in the Bible that say they love the Lord, because there are so few who do love the Lord. And among those who do love the Lord, their love is so small for the Lord that it's not worth recording. Is your love worth recording? Peter's love for the Lord is recorded, but in a way that is humiliating. The Lord Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. There is a recording in the scripture of somebody who said he loved the Lord. But is it recorded because he loved the Lord in such a great way, more than any others, and he was prepared to lay down his life for the Lord? Did he do that? The Lord showed him thought. Yes, the Lord knew all things. With God's omniscient eye, he could look into the heart of Peter and see that he loved him. But that love was so small that in the Gospels, you do not find it worthy of recording. Later on, Peter could say, whom having not seen, we love. But at that time, his love was so small it was not worth mentioning. And yet there are some in the Bible whose love is of sufficient magnitude that God sees fit to write it down. And I could wish that someday mine would be worth recording. I tell you honestly, I do not believe it is. Naturally, I love the Lord. And if you are a Christian, you love the Lord. How do I know that? Because it says in Corinthians, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. But there is love in degrees, and there is small love. The Lord Jesus spoke about that woman who came and lavished her love and possessions upon the Savior, and the Savior said concerning her, she loved much. Simon, he loved little. And so the Lord said, Simon loved a little. And yet it's recorded not because God wants to display it as he did the centurion's faith. I have not found so great faith, nor not in all Israel. That is the way I would like my love recorded. But I confess to you, I love the Lord, and if you are saved, you love the Lord. But God isn't going to give us an interview and record our love, because I do not believe that it is sufficiently great to be recorded in the scriptures, especially those that are always saying they love the Lord. And for that reason, in looking through these psalms that tell us about love, and did you notice that in every psalm there was some reference to love? Well, what I've done is to go through all the references to love in the psalms and pick out 26 references that have to do with the things that we're going to consider this month. And our subject these Lord's Day evenings will be love among the psalms. Love as it's found in the psalms. And I've read you 5 psalms that speak of love. And there are psalms that speak of a different kind of love, because in the psalms they speak of men who love God, but they also speak of men who love other things than God, good things. It speaks of God's love and what He loves, and then it speaks also in an hortatory way of the love that we should have for God. And what I have done is to choose from all of these references to the Psalms, these 5, because they are identical in this respect. Every one is an exhortation to love God, or love His name, or love His salvation. Now go to that. 5 exhortations about love. And they exhort us to love God Himself, or to love God's name, or to love God's salvation. Now, that is interesting, and it's important to note. Why would God 5 times exhort people to love Him and speak of things that they should do who do love God unless that need existed among the saints. And so looking over these references to love in the psalm, I find that these five are the ones that are most in subject matter, and that subject matter pertains to exhorting us to love God, and then how to behave, how to react if we do love God. Now, looking at all of them, here is what I find. I did not read you the headings of the psalms, but of these psalms, and these are the psalms, 5, 31, 40, 70, and 97. If you look at the heading of the first four psalms that I mentioned, it will say, a psalm of David. And if you look at the head of Psalm 97, you will find nothing there. And so this is what we learn from looking at these psalms side by side, that the one who does the most exhorting about love in the psalm is David. We could say he is the only one who does any exhorting about love in the Bible. You say, well, what about the one who wrote Psalm 97? Well, since it doesn't have the author's name at the head of it, it may have been David. And so he may have been the only one who exhorted. Or there may have been someone other than David, and God has not seen fit to record his name, and he does that at times. I remember the prophet that God said to be his mouthpiece, and he does not tell us his name. Simply, a man of God, a prophet that went with the message of God. You say, well, who was this man? Who was his father? Who were his children? God tells us nothing about it. And so we come to some of the magnificent psalms, and we look and we say, who composed this psalm? And you do not find his name. But in four of the five psalms that we read, the man who wrote these psalms in the title is a psalm of David. And in four of these five psalms, David is the one who does the exhorting. And in all five psalms, there are exhortations. It tells me this. It tells me that in the psalms, it is not like what we read in the first epistle of John. Here's what John says. John says, we love him because he first loved us. I challenge you to look through the psalms and see if you find anything like that in the psalms. You will find individuals who say, I love the Lord. But you do not find anyone saying, we love. You do not find anyone saying, as Peter did in his epistle, whom having not seen, we love. Now, Peter speaks of his love and the love of others for the Lord, and John speaks of his love and the love of others for the Lord. But in the Psalms, however it may have been, you find individuals who speak of their love for the Lord. But you do not find them joining their names with others and saying, we love the Lord. Perhaps it's something like Revelation chapter 3. The Savior says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It is an individual thing. And it may be that I can say, I love the Lord, if in a small way, but I do not know your heart that much. I do not know if I can say, well, you and you and you and I, we love the Lord. Because love is so small today. And love is so uninstructed today, that what we have to start with, this first night in our consideration of love as found in the psalm, is the subject of the exhortations as they have to do with love as they are set forth in the psalm. And these exhortations are five, but of these five, two are almost identical. Now, one of them has to do with God himself. Two of them have to do with God's salvation, and the other two have to do with let them that love the Lord. And so we have exhortations in this threefold respect. They have to do with God himself, they have to do with the name of God, and they have to do with God's salvation. And so all of the exhortations about love have to do with God or his salvation or his name. You find in John's epistle that he that said he loved God should love his brother also. But in these references that I'm telling you about, the reference is not to love one another. You find psalms like this, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, that you do not find the exhortation in these words, love the brethren. You do not find that in the Psalms. All of these exhortations are exhortations to love God, to love His name, to love His salvation. And so, the primary thing, and the first scripture that we have to start with, is not Psalm 5, but it's Psalm 31. And look at that now. Turn to Psalm 31. And you'll see why. Psalm 31, starting at verse 23. It says, O love the Lord, all ye His saints. The Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth him that dealeth proudly. And so the first exhortation is, O love the Lord, all ye His saints. Now, I've already told you this, that if you do not love the Lord, you are to be anathema. And so what is David saying here? He is saying this, as the disciples, when they saw the Lord and when they heard the Lord and saw the greatness of His faith, they said, Lord, increase our faith. It is not that they did not have faith. They did not say, impart to us a faith that we do not possess, but they said, Lord, increase our faith. And what David is exhorting is, for those that are his saints, notice, they are his saints, but he says to the saints, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. Then it is possible, as it says in the Olivet Discourse, and because the love of the many shall wax cold. And I wonder about your love. Is your love warm? Be fervent in your love, one toward another. We are to love God with all our being. Do you see why this exhortation is here? Anyone that is a saint of necessity must love God. Simon Peter, who denied the Lord, he of necessity must love the Savior. But do you not think that this exhortation is in order to Simon Peter? Oh, Simon Peter, love the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, of course it is. And so it is not an exhortation to those who have no love, but it is an exhortation to those whose love has grown cold or whose love has not grown. And this is what Paul prays for in his epistles. This is what he says to that church that he loves so much in Philippi. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment. Do you see? He is not praying that love may come into existence, but he is praying for the love that is already in existence. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. And today, perhaps the love of the saints is waxing cold. And Paul is praying that our love may abound yet more and more. And now, this exhortation is so in season, because David says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. If I've read that correctly, then the exhortation is not to a few, but it is to all. When the Lord Jesus spoke, the disciples asked, do you speak this parable unto us or unto all? Well, if you ask the question, to whom does this exhortation pertain that says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints? Are you one of God's saints? Then the exhortation applies to you. Your love is not abounding as much as it should. It is not as fervent as it should be. And therefore, the exhortation is in order. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. There are those who look at the qualifications of an elder, an overseer, a bishop, and they say, well, I do not have those qualifications, and I'm not interested because I am not a bishop. But when it comes to the moral qualifications in the Word of God, loving the saints and loving the Lord himself, you cannot escape that way by saying, I am no saint. If you are a saint, this exhortation pertains to you. Yes, if you are not an overseer or an elder, you may look at some of the qualifications and say, I cannot pass them, therefore I am not going to take them into consideration. But are you a saint? And if you say, I am, then you must take to heart this exhortation. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. And so here am I. And what David wrote so long ago applies to me this night, that if I have love for the Lord, I am to love him more. What love I have is to abound yet more and more. And this is the exhortation. When the Savior was asked concerning all the teachings of the Old Testament. He was asked, what is the first and great commandment? The Lord Jesus said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And when he was asked, what is the first and great commandment? Without a moment's hesitation, he said, Love. And the person who is to be loved first is your Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Yes, but more than that, love the Lord thy God with all your being, your heart and soul and mind and strength. And so who is there who can say, I love God fully with all my being? I know no such man. The Lord Jesus is the only one whom I've ever known. And therefore this exhortation is ever in season. Love the Lord, all ye his saints. That is the first and the great commandment. And why this is so essential, this particular exhortation, and it's applicable to every child of God, is that so often something happens. After we are saved, after that first love disappears, we are zealous for God. We labor, we toil, we cannot endure evil men. We put false ones to the test and find that they're imposters. But then the Lord Jesus said, I acknowledge all of that. He said, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And so, if we have all of this activity, and if we have all of these good works, but they're not motivated by love, the Apostle Paul said, they're nothing. Sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal, that is what they are. And the Lord Jesus said, Whatever you're doing for me, even though it's good, and I acknowledge it, he said, I have somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. And so the first exhortation that I bring to your attention is this. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. And you take that to heart and say, yes, because so often I'm like Simon Peter. Lord, you know all things. I confess to my shame that I've sinned in thought and word and deed. Oh, Lord, you know that. But you know that I love you. But this exhortation is in order. Love the Lord, all ye his saints. And that is what God would have us to do, to love him. And notice this, if we do, there are promises. I can only introduce you to these scriptures. But it says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, the Lord preserveth the faithful. And so, if we love him and we are faithful, God promises preservation. As he promises this to young people who honor their father and mother, he says, it is the first commandment to promise. And in the Old Testament, when God exhorts us to do this or that, and in this particular instance, to love him, it says, the Lord preserveth the faithful. And if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. And the way in which we serve him and love him, it shall not go unrewarded, it shall not go unnoticed, but God preserves us. God says concerning his saints from heaven at times, he said concerning Job, he said to Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? And oh, that God could look down and say, Have you considered my saints in Pembroke, that there are no saints like them in the earth, or in Goldsboro, or wherever we attend? I wonder if God ever mentions our name to Satan, rather than having the Lord Jesus to mention our name in intercessory prayer to the Father, rather than have the Father mention our name as ideal to Satan when he would come and accuse us. And so the exhortation is to love the Lord, all his saints, and if we do, God will preserve the faithful. First of all, I told you that exhortation has to do with God himself. And so here it is. Love the Lord. Love for God himself. That is the first. That is the primary exhortation of all these that we've read tonight. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. None are excluded. Now, go back to Psalm 5, and let's see what else we're exhorted when it comes to love. Chapter 5. It says in verse 11, But let all those that take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. How remarkable. Here, it is not God himself, but it is the name of God. And whenever you find the name of God in Scripture, it is that name which imparts to us some understanding of God. For instance, when the Lord Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he's calling himself God. But that is a name of God, and that name conveys something different than when the Lord Jesus could say, I am El Shaddai. That conveys a different thought. And so it says in Psalm 5, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Just this. Notice the three parts of this one verse. It says at the first part, let all those that take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. And I said, is this not remarkable? What we have in Psalm 5, verse 11, is the epistle to the Philippians in a condensed form. It says in these chapters written to the Philippians that Paul loved so much, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And notice what we have. It says, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, in Psalm 31, because of that which we lack, our love is not abounding. Our love waxed cold, and exhortation comes. Just as Psalm 103, remember it. So many times Psalm 103 is read, and it's read with the right words, but they do not understand what they're saying. Psalm 103 is not a psalm blessing God, but it is a psalm that exhorts the soul to bless God. Listen, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you see? We are reading that psalm as if we are, bless the Lord. But the man isn't blessing the Lord. He is exhorting himself to bless the Lord. And he is apprehensive lest he forget all of God's benefits. And so in Psalm 103, we have an exhortation to bless the Lord. And so here it is praise, the praise of our lips that is being exhorted in Psalm 103. And in like manner in Psalm 31, there is an exhortation. And now in Psalm 5, again, here is an exhortation. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Well, it's possible to be a saint and yet have love so small that we need to be exhorted. Exhort one another day by day so long as it's called today to encourage one another to love God more. And at the same time, there are some that say, I love the Lord, but that note of joy is missing in their life. So let me ask you, are you known as a joyful Christian? I recall one day going through a department store, and you've been through, and they had mirrors all along, and I was walking along, and I look in the mirror, I see this long face. I said, why, that's the face that other people see when I'm walking through the world. And so in like manner, I'm looking out at Christians. Tell me, you that love the Lord, it says, rejoice in the Lord. And do you think that this is rejoicing in the Lord? Does that look like I'm rejoicing in the Lord? Now, it doesn't mean frivolity. I see so many people that supposedly rejoice in the Lord, and that's not rejoicing at all. It is false, pretension, frivolity, not at all. But there is a definite output in our lives. There is a definite behavior if we love the Lord. And perhaps the exhortation is that, yes, we love the Lord, but we are so concerned with the sins of the world, with our shortcomings, with those who are unsaved, that we want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is continual sorrow in our hearts. Paul could say that, but at the same time, he who had continual sorrow in his heart for his kinsmen according to the flesh, and he wanted them saved, still he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And it says in this verse, let all them that love thy name be joyful in thee. I take this exhortation to heart. Then, let not the conditions and circumstances of life be those things that depress me. It's so easy when things happen, when reversals